Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
I'm teaching this evening on what I have titled Triggers of Miracles or Triggers of the Miraculous. If you study your Bible, you will discover that when it has to do with miracles, the Bible puts it as workings of miracles. There are forces, there are installations of the Spirit that we must take advantage of if we must walk in the miraculous. They don't just happen. Miracles are made to happen. Everywhere you see the supernatural on display, someone of understanding is doing something. God has designed it this way by reason of his wisdom. And so it's our duty as his people, if we want to see the miraculous in our lives, to cooperate with that which he has instituted so that it becomes part and parcel of our existence. All of us are maturing and we are at different levels of development. But while we are yet growing, we will constantly require divine interventions, divine interruptions, sovereign interruptions to change our stories. Imagine if somebody is in the hospital dying of cancer, and then you come to him and you are trying to disciple him or her to understand divine health. When will such a person learn that truth and grow in it to work? What that person needs now is an urgent intervention. Development is a process. As God intervenes, such a person can rise up and begin to learn and grow in it. But right now, what he needs is an intervention. Imagine somebody drowning in debt, and then you come to him and you can't do anything to create a change. You are busy teaching him the covenant of prosperity, and he needs to practice it for a season to prosper. Now, all of those are important, but while we develop people, we must also be sensitive to the need of urgent interventions. Imagine the testimony of our sister who prayed that, Lord, even if it's a toilet, give me, I will stay there. Is that the person you want to start teaching for 2 years to develop faith for finances? No. If you do that, you are wicked. That's why when Martins met her, what she needed was a miracle. And God strengthened his servant to provide her an accommodation. Now she's an usher. Now she's learning the word of God. Now she's growing. So we don't put aside the necessity of development. But we must understand that there are certain cases that are very urgent. This is why once and again, we have services like this, where we activate our faith for the miraculous and then we trust God for the miraculous so that people can receive urgent interventions while they are yet growing. And tonight, I am persuaded that if there be anything you came here with that requires urgent divine intervention, you will not walk out unless you receive it. Talking to the wrong audience, let me face those online. Perhaps they are more ready to receive. I say, before this service is over, you will receive your intervention. The Bible says, now faith is, not later, now. Now faith is. I prophesy over someone, your intervention is now. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Ah, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Ah, oh, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Mighty on your throne, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, down for a moment. We need the miraculous. God didn't just institute it to demonstrate his power. No. If God allows you to see what men are going through, you will weep and you will hate your helplessness. People are going through stuff. Terrible stuff. That if God does not deliver them, even you, the believer, will wonder if it's fair. But the good news is that it's not just fair, but it's loving, compassionate, and able to deliver. And yes, he does. This is why tonight, somebody will receive his or her deliverance. I was listening to the brother who was testifying about his issue with his wife. By the way, I need to see both of you because listening to that, your lengthy testimony, I realized your wife was the only problem. And I wonder how you have a challenge and your wife will be the only problem. That means that matter has not been settled. We need to go in as wise master builders to crack the issue and bring a lasting transformation. But hear me, people are going through things and we cannot close our eyes. Else what you are doing will become religion. Hallelujah. So tonight, very quickly, I want to show you why miracles are important. And then number two, I want to show you the dimensions of miracles. Because most times when we talk about miracles, people think it's healing, healing, healing. That's not all. That's an aspect of miracles, but the syllabus of miracles is more vast than just healing. So that when you trust God for miracles, you will receive much more than healing. Glory to Jesus. And then I will come back to the major emphasis of tonight, which are the triggers for miracles. Because most of us, what we don't understand is that you don't necessarily need an apostle or a prophet to receive a miracle. In the New Testament, God has created a system where you don't depend on a man, as it were, to be blessed. When you find one, thank God for him. But in case there is none, you are still not hopeless. Because the system has been opened up for everyone to receive and to walk into the fullness of their destinies, the presence of men notwithstanding. This is why tonight I'm showing you the triggers. So that when things go wrong, when you are trusting God for a man, while you are trusting God for intervention, you will know what to do. If a man shows up to stand with you, it's a blessing. But in case there is none, you will still not be stranded. Are you following me tonight? So quickly, why are miracles important? Why did God institute miracles? Number one is so that his glory can be revealed. God is invincible. And God is intangible as far as our realm is concerned. Because he is a spirit. But one of the ways to bring God into this realm in such a way that although invincible and intangible, his reality cannot be denied, is through the instrumentality of miracles. So when miracles are on display, it's not just to show that a man of God is powerful. When miracles are on display, it's a testament that God is not a figment of man's imagination. When miracles are on display, it's a testimony that God is not just a theological assertion. Miracles come to validate the tangibility, the essence, and the presence of God. That this being is real. So it reveals the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, when Jesus worked a miracle, and you will find this story in Mark chapter 2, they brought a paralytic man, dropped him through the roof, and when Jesus healed the man, he made a statement. He said that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Because Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees looked back and said, come on, is it not only God that can forgive sins? Who is this that blasphemes? And Jesus looks at them and makes them understand that the intangible God that he always knew as a theological assertion has manifested in human body. He is now visible and he is present with you. This is why I forgive sins. And to show you that I have power to forgive sins, I will heal this man. I will do the one that is more difficult to you, so that you will know that what you define as theology is also a reality. If I say you are forgiven, how do you verify it? But if I say rise up and walk, you will know that who is talking here is not just a talker. He has a power and is able to demonstrate it. So miracles come to reveal the glory of God. When Lazarus died and Jesus was invited, the Bible said Jesus didn't move. He waited for a couple of days before he now told the disciples, Lazarus is asleep. Let's go and wake him up. And Thomas looked at him and if he's asleep, he will wake up. If he's asleep, he will wake up. And Jesus came down to his level and said, he is dead. They now whisper, let's go and die with him. We are not going to die with him because God will manifest his glory. You know what Jesus said? In John 11 verse 4, he said, this is not unto death. He said, but that the glory of God should be made manifest. So every time miracles are on display, what should come to your mind is that God is revealing his glory. Now, when you know this, it will become easy for you to receive a miracle. Because that tumor that God is dematerializing, yes, it's a blessing to you. But that tumor dematerialized also proves that God is alive. So that miracle does not only bless you, it also blesses God. So when God works a miracle, he is doing something to showcase his glory. When Jesus turned water to wine, in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, at the end of that scripture, the Bible said this was the first miracle that Jesus did so that he will manifest his glory. This is why when people come to testify, we don't nod and say, yeah, we have arrived. No. When people come to testify, we return the praise to God. Because that sign, that wonder, that miracle is a revelation that the finger of God has manifested. Why does God do miracles? To reveal his glory. Number two, why does God do miracles? To bring people to faith. There are many people that will never experientially walk in faith unless they see something. Now, Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. True. But the word of God is not only preached only by talking. There are times when the word of God also manifests. That's what miracles represent. When you see a miracle, it's a manifestation of the word of God. This is why God, in addition to the teaching and the preaching of the gospel, also demonstrates miracles so that the faith of men can be activated. In John 2:23, the Bible said many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. So miracles come to help people's faith. I was preaching in Zimbabwe. Massive crowd in a vigil. Preached down fire and brimstone. The place was boiling.
when the word of God was going forth, people were literally running and fleeing. At some point, I realized that the expectation of the people had climaxed. The question was, thank God for the fire, but what next? So I switched into the power mode, made some declarations, and some persons were healed. I asked that they be brought forth. One testified, I had migraine, it's gone. 2-3 people clapped. Another testified, I came here with back pain, it was gone. I said, if these people live here like this, they will think we came here to play. And I walked to the front. I said, you mean there is this crowd and there's nobody here with crutches? Didn't anybody come here with crutches? Don't say some things, oh, unless you believe God. When I said it, a man walked up with 2 crutches. The waist was like rubber. And it came to the front. Everywhere went dead silent. This message you have preached, let's see whether it is theology or reality. This is the hour. What substantiates the message is the demonstration of power. Paul said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. I choose to know nothing among you, save Christ and Him crucified. My teaching and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. They were the demonstration of the spirit and power. Why? That your faith shall not be built on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. It's about the faith of the people. Guess what? When I saw them, I knew God wanted to bless these people. I knew God wouldn't let this number of people be disappointed. And I looked at the guy. I said, don't pray for me. Some people are now praying, will it happen? Will it not happen? And I told them, I won't pray. I said, give me the crutch. He gave me one. And I jumped down from the stage. See, when it comes to action, that's when Christianity becomes sweet. As I collected the crutch, I said, walk. The guy started walking with one. I said, you know what? Give me the second one. When I collected both crutches, brothers and sisters, the hall erupted. I'm telling you, nobody could sit down. I'm telling you, when people see miracles, they come alive. They may respect you as a preacher. They may act pious because through their development, they were trained to be careful in the house of God. But you see, that real essence of God that is in them, it won't flow until they see something. I prophesy over someone, tonight your faith will come alive. Because you will see what God does. I say your faith will come alive. Your faith will come alive. For a moment. Why does God do miracles? To quicken the faith of people. He said, if I don't demonstrate power, your faith will be on the wisdom of men, not on the power of God. Not on the power of God. If you want to see a power generation that have real faith to confront circumstances, they must see the hand of God. The word brings faith, but miracles, amongst other things, activate the power of faith. When people hear only talk, they can never become. That's why you find many people full of bold communications. Until somebody shows up, I have tumor. Until somebody shows up, I'm oppressed. Until somebody shows up, your Christianity will not be like that. You will demonstrate the power of God. Number 3. Why does God do miracles? To deliver people from satanic bondages. Satan has come to mess men up. John 10 verse 10. The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life. When we are in pain, he is touched. But he didn't just come to show empathy. He came to deliver. In 1 John 3:8, he said, for this cause, the Son of Man was made manifest, that he might destroy
the works of the devil. Every time the works of the devil are destroyed, men are liberated. And when men are liberated, it's called miracles. This is why God does miracles. To show forth his glory, to awaken faith in your heart, and to deliver you from bondage. Satan wants you and I destroyed. But every time there's miracle, that is God saying no, not this one. And today I make bold to tell you, God will say no concerning your life. I say God will say no concerning your life. In Acts 10 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All that were oppressed. When miracles are on display, God is delivering someone. So when you see us take miracle testimonies, don't think it's a show. Somebody is giving glory to God. We are projecting it for somebody else's faith to be activated. And then we are showing you men that God is delivering. I came back from Australia 3 weeks ago, and they showed me a testimony that broke me. A young boy was born with over 9 infirmities. You are wondering, Satan, what is wrong with you? Don't you have sense? What did the little boy do? Heart challenge, pulmonary issues, all kinds of things. And the parents, because were in the hospital, could not come for the meeting. So they sent their friend with a picture to show you that this is not about men. They were in Perth. The meeting was happening in Sydney. And they sent a picture. The lady met me when I was done ministering. Tired. Trust me, there was no anointing. It was God delivering men from bondage. And when they, you know this kind of thing, over 100 people are waiting to see you. And you have just barely 30 seconds with everybody. What is the issue? This boy is sick, Lord. Life. And I walked away. 2 weeks later, the boy was discharged. Heart has been, the operation that was scheduled for heart was cancelled. Things began to happen. As at the time they testified this year, he was playing everywhere. You needed to see the gadgets that were on this boy in the hospital. The machines. If you have that picture projected, if you see the gadgets, when we say Satan oppresses people, we are not, it's not story. There are people who every evening, they cry of pain till morning. Pain. And when you ask, for how long? They say, for the past 17 years. And you are wondering, how is this pain? How has it been? So that is Satan. Demons jubilate when we are in pains. The same way you lift your hands here and you worship and God is happy. That's how your pains make demons happy. But you know what miracles does? It stabs demons of those pains. See, concerning somebody's life, no demon will jubilate. I say, no Satan will celebrate on account of your life. Any power that has held you captive, I decree under this unction, they are destroyed now. Wicked devils, they go back to hell tonight. Number 4, why does God do miracles? Imagine, how old is this one? Less than 3 months. Gadgets everywhere. Do you know, even as that 1 year later when they were testifying, the boy was still learning to eat. Organs have been restored. But your Satan is wicked. That's why when we preach these messages with aggression, see the list of this guy's crisis. Posterior ureter valves, renal dysfunction, PPHN, pulmonary hyperplasia, slow respiratory wind, pattern. What? See the name, sir. Is the name not a torment? They will not use this name for you. The only name they will use for you is favor, is wisdom, is blessing, is promotion, is dominion, in the name of Jesus.
Never, they will never use any name like dysfunction for you. It's not your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. But when God stepped in,
feed machines.
When God stepped in, the boy was playing with toys. Somebody that should be playing with toys is locked.
Sit, imagine.
Abba. Then I asked the Lord, what name feeds you? See this brother here. Then I asked the Lord, what name feeds you? And he said, yeah. Yah, the hallowed one. Yah, the holy one.
Yahweh.
Yahweh. The King of Zion. Yah, the hallowed one. Yah, the holy one. Yahweh. The King of Zion. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. Take your seat for a moment. Why does God do miracles? Number four, to demonstrate his compassion. God is a loving God. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, it says God is love. A loving God can't watch people dying. It gives him no joy. That's why sometimes God breaks him by his sovereignty. The compassion won't let him. Many times, the Bible spoke concerning Jesus that he was moved by compassion. Mark 1:41. Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched the paralytic man, and he was cleansed. Compassion. So when you see people being delivered, on one side is the authority of God over Satan. On another side is the revelation of God's compassion. God's love for humanity. He demonstrated it ultimately on the cross, and therefore making the cross the channel for everybody to access miracles, to access healings, to access wonders. But the summary of the subject matter is the demonstration of the love of God. That's why I said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why does God do miracles? Number five. Please write these things down. These are the things that brings justification to your faith. When you find one Christian confident that God will intervene, and another Christian not sure whether God will intervene or not, the difference is their understanding. One knows that the intervention of God is for the manifestation of his glory. He knows that the intervention of God is the demonstration of his compassion. He knows that the intervention of God is the demonstration of his authority over Satan. He knows that the intervention of God is for the awakening of his faith, so that he can believe in God and be saved, because God does not want any to perish. These are the sonesis of that Christian that gives him audacity. Why the other one is not sure? Because he's only thinking about himself. Does God love me? Is God willing to do this? Another one is burning with zeal, burning with confidence that God will do it. He won't deny himself. And you are wondering, is God biased? No. Their understanding is what separates them into cadres. This is why you need to know this. I am bold tonight that God will touch somebody, because I know if he touches somebody, he will take the glory. I know if he touches somebody, an unbeliever seated here who is looking at me, all these pastors talking, his faith will be activated. He will be saved. I know he will touch somebody because he's compassionate. I know those things. That's what gives me assurance that he will do something. And if every believer will walk in this realm, we must all know it. See, the days where only one superstar evangelist, one superstar prophet comes around and everybody got there over. We all carry the Holy Ghost now. We all have the faith of Jesus now. We all have the name of God now. All of us can work wonders. He said, these signs follow them that believe. Not prophets, not evangelists, not apostles. Everyone who believes. Prophet inclusive, ordinary believer inclusive. But what do you know? That's what makes the difference. Why does God do miracles? Number five. To confirm his words. He said, not any jot or tittle of his word will fail. And guess what? He has already spoken that he will do wonders. So every time miracles happen, it is God confirming his words. Exodus 15:26. He says, I am the Lord that healed thee. So every time we call Jesus Lord over any situation, he has to show up to confirm it. He said, I am the Lord. If he says, I am the Lord, then that is good. When we call him Lord, we are only recognizing his position. But he said, I am the Lord that healed thee. So every time we say Lord, he confirms that lordship amongst other things by bringing healing. So miracles are a confirmation of the word of God. He said, these signs follow them that believe. Mark 16:17. So when a believer shows up, God confirms what he has said. That the signs will follow the believer. I am a believer. So if I stand here and I say, if you are sick, be healed, it's not my duty to confirm it. I'm now standing as a believer. God is the one who said, signs will follow believers. So when I talk, it's his duty to confirm, not me, his word. And that's why if you read Mark 16:20, it said, and they went, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. He already said, signs will follow believers. So when believers go, it's not their duty to think whether signs will happen. Imagine the number of trips we embark on. And we see wonders everywhere. You think it's by human strength? In the last 1 month alone, we have organized programs in more than 4 nations. All of them characterized with power. Think about it. How is God doing it? I flew overnight from London to come here this morning, preaching this evening. I preached yesterday morning in the UK. And before then, I had preached in Ibadan for Bishop Adelako. Before then, I was in Australia. I was in Ghana. I was in Dubai. All of them power manifesting. You think it's just because this guy is anointed? No! There is an understanding. When a believer goes, it's God's duty to confirm his word. So when I stand, my job is to talk. His job is to answer. So long as there is a mouth to talk, there is a God to answer. So when a guy shows up, I have tumor, I say, be healed. You know, it's just like spending from a wealthy man's ATM. It's not your job to wonder, is money there? Is money not there? That's not my duty. If Elon Musk gives you his ATM now, will you bother whether there's money there? Anyone you like, take. As you are taking, the money is reducing. It's not from your wallet, sir. He said, these signs follow them that believe. So what's my duty? Create signs. If there's no sign, create opportunity for signs. That's why miracle service was instituted. In case they don't come on a normal day, we force them to come today. Because signs must happen. See, understand this and enter the realm of power. Some of you think, some of these special ministers, some of these special apostles. That's a deception. Are you a believer? Yes, then you are a wonder worker. You are not here doing wonders. Start doing it. Because there are wars waiting on your life to be confirmed. I
I come to confirm scriptures. You are the head and not the tail? Really? Then I migrate from the tail and go to the head. That's why some of us never go anywhere and stay at the back. No, sir. No, sir. I am the head and not the tail. If I have to queue from there, my attention is in front. I'm going there now, now, now. Watch and see. You will see me crossing. Somebody looked at me. He said, others are going like this. He said, but you go like this. I said, why not? I am the head and not the tail. Please have this understanding. I've taught you process here. But I've also taught you to distinguish between process and mediocrity. Don't bury yourself at the back. Bury yourself in the pit and think it's piety and humility. No, it's not. There are too many scriptures to be confirmed on your life. He said, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. How many have you laid hands on? He said, speak the word and it shall come to pass. How many words have you spoken? Some of us, the one we have spoken is that, hi, nothing is working. Oh God, it is well. Even inside the well, you will remain in the well and it will be well with you there. Some of us, we come out of the well. We come out. We come out. We come out. There are some of you that are looking at yourself. I am young. When I grow, when I become mature, I will do something. You go check David out. You go check Joseph out. You go check Jesus out. At 12, he was already making exploits in the tabernacle. You are 30, you say you are young. Is it when you grow hair on your teeth that you'll be old? Wake up! He said, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. Christ will give you light. Meanwhile, it's only in Africa we have that theology. When you cross over to the West, you see young people shaking their world, and it's normal. I prophesy over someone. This is your time of manifestation. I said, this is the time of your manifestation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, sit down for a moment, please. Why does God do miracles? To advance His kingdom. Matthew 12, verse 28. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God is with you. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in words. It's in the demonstration of power. It's in the demonstration. I can't tell you how many people that we have spoken their destiny forward. Some from death to life. Some from sickness to health. Some from failure to prosperity. Because it's not in words. It's in the demonstration of power. The demonstration. And that's everyone's heritage. Listening to me now. See, most of you will live here and become intoxicated. You know why? Because your miracle tonight will not just be a healing. It will be a miracle of transformation. You will walk out of here and begin to take over your world. Quickly. What are the dimensions of miracles? Number one, miracles are interventions that changes the course of nature. So the first dimension of miracles is over nature. Exodus 14, 21 to 22. Moses stretched his rod and parted the Red Sea. So you know, this is beyond science. The Red Sea parted hither and thither. And over 4 million people walked through on dry ground. The Egyptian thought it was a coincidence. The Bible said when they attempted to do it, they drowned. So that was power at work. The authority of God over nature. Mark 4:39. There was a storm on the sea. Jesus stood up. Peace be still. And there was a great calm. So when we talk miracles, we are talking the power of God over nature. Joshua 10, verse 12 to 13. Israel were at war. And Joshua knew if it became dark, they would be disadvantaged. And the Bible said he stood before everybody and said, let the sun remain upon the valley of Gibeon and the moon upon the valley of Ajalon. And he said, the sun did not make haste to go down. He said, there has never been a day like that, and neither will there ever be the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. When I read that scripture, I said, oh my God. So we God too hearkened to the voice of men. God hearkens when men speak. Yes, there is a place you will stand that when you talk, God will hear. Did you not read about Abraham? Far be it from you, O righteous God, that you destroy the righteous and the wicked. Peradventure you find 50 righteous men. Will you spare the city? If I find 50 righteous men, I will spare. See, most of you will walk out of this meeting tonight. You will start saying things that God will hearken to. John 2:1-11. Jesus turned water to wine. So when we are talking miracles, it also affects nature. Listen, you are a farmer. It's the season. Rain is not falling. It's not just coming to church, lifting up holy hands. Sir, call forth rain. That's what we are saying here. You should be able to impart and alter the course of nature. And this is not a new thing. You go read 1 Kings 20. A king was sick because he consorted with idols. And God sent the prophet Hezekiah to go speak to him. And he said to him, put your house in order. You shall surely die. I saw the power of faith and intercession in that scripture. Guess what? Before the prophet walked out, the Bible said the king turned and faced the wall, cried bitterly, and raised entreaties before God. And God said to the prophet, turn back. You know, one of the intercessors in this country said, the intercessor is the boss of the prophet. The guy changed. Imagine a prophet, a national prophet. And you know the way they operate those days? With long white beards. They don't come out of the cave. When they come, know that they are carrying the voice of Elohim. And they walk like carriers of the voice of God. So they walk to your place. Everybody gives room. And when they come, sometimes they look up and speak some Aramaic, speak some Hebrews. Barashit Elohim Adonai. With some deep voice. You will know that the Almighty is talking. And everybody will wait for the voice of the Lord. Put your house in order. For thus saith the Lord, you shall surely die. Some of you, a witch cursed you and you died. Wake up! Nobody dies like that here. If a prophet brings a word from the Lord and a man could press and change it, who is that man that can curse you? The Bible says, who is it that saith a thing and it cometh to pass? When the Lord commanded it not, he said, declare thou and you shall be established. Come on now. I prophesy over someone. Any negative word over your life is changed tonight. What do you mean? I'm failing because of my stepmother. I'm failing because of my grandfather. I change those words tonight. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Come on, come on. Charge your spirit. Charge your spirit. There's no such thing. I'm not married because of my stepmother. It's either that word changes or she dies. There's no such thing. I'm not prospering because my grandfather said this. Grand what? I stand on the oracles of God. The Bible said there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. For the shout of the king is in the midst of them. I stand on the oracles of God. And I decree and declare that verdict passes over you now. I'm a little bit of a money. The Bible said, it shall no longer be said in Israel. Come on, man. Come on. See, somebody prophesy. Speak it yourself. Can you prophesy? Can you prophesy? Can you prophesy? Can you prophesy? If the iniquities of father rested on one generation, the blessings of God rest upon a thousand generations. You can't compare light and darkness. Whatever was said about you that was wrong, I change it. I call you blessed. You can't be no blessed because of the iniquity of your father. I bring you into the blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord said to the prophet, go back and tell him. He didn't say you will live to the fullness of your age. No. He said, I have added 15 years to your life. So the guy will live 15 years longer than he was originally destined to live. So the scrolls of eternity was edited. What was before the foundation of the world was edited. I have added 15 years. Because the Bible tells us the number of our days are already counted. They went back to before the foundation of the world. Edited the guy's destiny. We add 15 years. You go think about it. Powers at work here opened up realms because they knew. They knew. But hear me. This is my emphasis. When the prophet told him, the guy said, no, give me a proof. Don't come and talk here carelessly again. Give me a proof. And the prophet told him, see, you need to have understanding. We are not in the same level. Our understanding separates us. Of all the proofs that prophets could give, guess what prophet said? Choose whether your shadow shall go forward by 10 degrees or backward by 10 degrees. You know what that means? That means the sun will move faster by 10 degrees forward or 10 degrees backward. And the guy said, it's not a big deal for my shadow to go forward by 10 degrees. But if he reverses, I know power is talking here. And the Bible said the prophet cried to the Lord. They knew that evil nature could bend for divine ordination to happen. And the man's shadow went back. Went back by 10 degrees. And you are here. You say your farmland will be destroyed because of weather. You say your building project will be damaged because of weather? No. I can tell in my village today they can call rain. If our Christianity is just about falling under the anointing in church, we are joking. Miracles is the power to interrupt nature if it doesn't align with God's purpose. I prophesy over someone. Anybody that nature needs to shift for divine purpose to find expression for your life, I command it to shift now. I say, I command it to shift now. So you know, there are people that are allergic. Anytime it rains, they start feeling itches. Those are nature orchestrated evil. I speak over you. Any dimension of bondage that nature has been subjected to in order to put you in bondage, there is a change now. I said there is a change now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, the one we are dealing with is not a human. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. You think God is your colleague. That's why you are believing him for the things you can do. Because you can buy bread for somebody. You think miracles is for somebody to have bread. You are not dealing with your colleague, sir. You are dealing with the one who created you and created the whole world. He can change anything. It is within the confines of his power. I prophesy over someone. Nature will align to your favor. down for a moment. We don't have time. If I break into this window, we won't go far enough. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominion. All power and position. Your name stands above them all. Somebody is stepping into a new realm from tonight. Please sit down for a moment. The first dimension of miracles is over nature. God's sovereignty over the forces of nature. He can interrupt nature to advance his purpose. Number two dimension of miracles is healing. This is God's sovereignty over the afflictions of the body. He has such powers. So when we talk miracles, anything that affects nature can be changed. When we talk miracles, anything that affects your body can be changed. You read the story of Bartimaeus, blind from his mother's womb. Mark 10:46-52. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? That I might see again. Receive your sight. Imagine talking eyesight into being. This is what God wants you to open your understanding to accept and believe. The lady came here and testified a moment ago. 1 month, issue of blood, with pains and shame. She showed up. Nobody prayed for her. Heard the story of the woman with the issue of blood and went home with faith. Because he sent his word to Jacob, he lightened upon Israel. If you did it for one, you will do it for me too. And from that night, the flow stopped. The moment understanding is born, faith is activated. You don't struggle with faith. You bet it through understanding. And one of the areas of understanding you must have are the areas where God brings interventions. Your body is not meant only for doctor's verdict. Thank God for what they are doing. We appreciate them. But hear me. Doctors have their limits. They didn't create the lungs. They didn't create the nose. They didn't create the heart. They only study to understand how it functions. So if you put all your hope on them, you are in trouble. Because when they get to their wit end, you are finished. This is why, in addition to appreciating God for doctors, you must trust the one who created the body parts. And when miracles happen, God intervenes. People will receive dimensions of healings tonight. Crisis in the body will be addressed tonight. Number three, miracles in the area of divine provision. Most of us believe God is only interested in us receiving Jesus so we don't go to hell. If you are God, will that be the only provision you have for your children? You know, we just talk things that does not make sense. Even in human level. Imagine your child is in danger somewhere. And then all you are interested in is to remove him from that danger. And then leave him to struggle there. Can you do that? And you hear preachers arguing that, now, I believe God's primary intervention in the life of a man is salvation from sin. So that he escapes hell and the messianic judgment. I believe that. But It will be unfortunate to believe that's all God wants to do for you. That God gives you salvation and leaves Satan to buffet you. Leaves circumstances to buffet you and he does nothing about it. What kind of God is that? Meanwhile, it is replete in scriptures that God intervenes in our circumstantial life. In Proverbs 10:22, it said, "The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it." The word rich there is the same word Abraham used in Genesis 14 when he met Melchizedek. "I won't take a latchet from you lest you say you made Abraham rich." So it's not talking about spiritual riches. He said, "Tell them that are rich in this world," 1 Timothy 6:19, "to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, that giveth to every man liberally that he may enjoy." These are people who are in the world. There is a measure of God's blessings that empowers them. Is he the child of God that God will allow to go through? Do you know how wicked this world is? The Bible said, "Have respect unto the covenant." Psalm 74 verse 20. It said, "The dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty." Guess where the dark places of the earth are? Everywhere. "For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." So everywhere on earth there is darkness. And you feel God will leave us to ourselves? Now, if our struggles were only natural, then you say, okay, yes, maybe God has given us a mind. We should be able to exert our mind to conquer it. But demons are involved. You go read the story of Job. Demons are involved in your poverty. They are involved in your financial crisis. There are people who have all the expertise in the world. But when they bring their certificate, from looking at them, whoever is collecting it is irritated for no reason. Because of a garment of reproach. And then they collect that certificate, collect that contract proposal, and throw it under the carpet. Competence, yes, but no favor. There are people who have 4 PhDs are confused. Because the mind has been darkened. So they can't have inspiration to have a headway in life. The Bible says some labor and put in the pocket with holes. And you think God will sit down and say, "Find your way out"? No. When God works miracles, he intervenes in our financial and material life, amongst other things. He can bring that intervention by causing the lines to fall for you in pleasant places. What men call coincidences, they are not coincidences. They are spirit orchestrations. He can bring that intervention by giving you wisdom and inspiration to excel in certain areas. He can bring that intervention by putting a dimension of favor on your life that will cause protocols to be altered for you. But one way or the other, God intervenes. I don't have time to tell you testimonies. A brother ran to me here. Blood pressure was already high. He was literally taking drugs to sleep. Why? He was in debt to the tune of hundreds of millions because he's a supplier of grains. Satan came, blocked every door. All his supplies shut down. And then those who partnered with him all showed up at the same time. "Where is my money?" A man of integrity suddenly has to hide because the realm has been manipulated. He came for a service like this. At the end of the service, came for prayer, laid hands on him, and I was led to put a mantle on him. He returned in 2 weeks. He brokered a deal of $700 million. They paid cash. You are there talking that what? Do you know the realm we are living in? In 7 days, the whole wealth of Job vanished. And go to Job 42:10. The same wealth appeared overnight. You don't know what's going on here, sir. We believe in hard work. We believe in principles. But the realm has spirits participating in it. So you stay only at that threshold at your peril. Now, I speak over someone. Every dimension of intervention you require to affect your material world, I release it to you now.
divine provisions. You go read Mark 6, 5 to 13. Jesus fed 5,000 men supernaturally, because God does that. He has the power. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. The widow, oil multiplied miraculously, because God does that. There is a miracle for divine provisions. Number 4, there is the miracle of supernatural transformation. There are times when the miracle is not necessarily about things, it's about you. Because you may be your limitation. That's why I told you, some of the blessings God has apportioned for you, it's not this version that will walk in it. Go and check your picture of 15 years ago and carry that picture and compare it with your current reality. If you came like that, they will kick you out. I looked at myself 15 years ago the other time. If you weigh me that period, you say, this guy should go and be a dancer. Put him to be dancing behind someone. If they brought my 15 years ago version here and said, behold thy apostle, you say, what? Apostle what? Where I'm going with my destiny? Is it this creature that will be? So when God works miracles, amongst other things, he brings and facilitates transformation. First, in the area of purity and holy living, so that you can accommodate God. The Bible says we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. He said we are changed from glory to glory into that image, even as by the Spirit. So there is a transformation that makes you Christ-like. But that's not all. There is also a transformation that makes you viable, productive, and relevant to your generation. Isaiah 60 from verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. He said, but for you, when you have risen, he said, Gentiles will come to your light. He said, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. That's the same kind of transformation he spoke about in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. See, there is a dimension that can come on you that will upgrade your intellect. Have you not seen people that no matter how they read, they can't remember anything? They are called dummies. Their brain is blocked. They can't process anything. And most times, demons are involved. Some read and forget. There are other people that teach them until you pour out your whole intestine. They will make 10 mistakes every time they try. So the more they repeat, the more they damage. It's like they can never get it right. There are people like that. They are either retarded or demons are darkening their understanding. Those possibilities are there. Also, when God shows up, he can upgrade men. Did you read about the encounter of Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 3. After he gave a 1,000 burnt offering, God said, I will make you wise. And you will be wiser than all the sons of men. And the vastness of your heart will be like the sands of the seashore. That was not wisdom by study. That was wisdom by miracles. God does that. So when we are talking miracles here, don't only think healing. There are times when we can come for miracle service. All God will do will be around changing your environment, both externally and internally. Much persons may not be healed, but you walk into your world, suddenly people who were not there will suddenly start showing up. And then you don't know why on Monday you meet a minister. On Tuesday you meet a philanthropist. On Wednesday, you meet the vice president. Now, these people were not in your world. What happened? The miracle has affected your cosmos.
By the end of the week, you have been invited to a meeting that you are not qualified to participate in. What happened is the environment that was altered. That was the miracle service. And then there are times when it's the internal environment. You just know what to do. You get to your job. What usually will get everybody confused, you just bring answers. And it just comes. And you are wondering, what happened to my mind? The miracle was inside. So don't limit yourself to healing. Because most of you who probably are not sick, you may be thinking the miracle service has no impact on you. It is far greater than just healing. It is about affecting your environment. It's about affecting your body. It's about affecting your resources. It's also about affecting you in the area of transformation. And hear me, because you are under the sound of my voice, you will not escape a miracle tonight. I have seven more, but because of time, let me get the triggers so that somebody can walk miracles after this service. What are the triggers of miracles? What are the factors that provokes miracles? Number one is faith. Anywhere miracles are at work, a man of faith is present. It's never a coincidence. Go and read your book, your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. It chronicled most of the miracles in scriptures. And guess what? It tied all of them to men. That means wherever miracles happen, a man of faith was present. No Red Sea parts without a Moses. It's not a coincidence. No sun stands still without a Joshua. It doesn't happen like that. Every time there is a miracle, there's a man of faith. The God of faith is the constant, but variables are men. And I pray that somebody will enter that position of men tonight. If faith comes alive, miracles become natural. Matthew 9:20-22. Jesus met the woman with the issue of blood. It was from Jesus that power left. But guess what released the power? He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way. Jesus never said, the power that left me. That means that power was available for everybody and to everybody. But only the woman of faith could draw it. Only the woman of faith could access it. Only the woman of faith could take a hold of it. Now somebody is hearing me now and probably he's praying, Lord, please activate my faith. Can I surprise you? Your faith is already activated. What you need are two things. Three things rather. Number one, understanding. Number two, expectations. Number three, action. Don't go and start praying, Lord, activate my faith. Guess what? I've taught you before. The faith you have now is the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not your faith. You already have a fully activated faith. Colossians 2:20. Paul was speaking. I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. He said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by... So the faith of Paul was actually the faith of Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul was speaking. Guess what Paul said? According as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We. So Paul now made us understand that faith is not exclusively mine. We having the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore what? Speak. So the activation is the action. We believe, we don't keep quiet. We speak. You have that faith. And in case that does not convince you, Paul writing in Romans 12 verse 3, he said, God dealt to you the measure of faith. So the faith of Jesus was the faith of Paul. The faith of Paul is your faith, is my faith. The reason that your faith is not working is number one, you don't understand what faith you have and you don't understand what that faith can do. From this service, some of you already know that you can do something about nature. You can do something about the body. You can do something about circumstances. That is understanding.
The next level now is expectations. The Bible said, the expectations of the righteous shall never be cut short. The reason many righteous don't see manifestations is because they don't have expectations. A Christian is sick. Ask him 1,001 times. Is his drug prescription only that he's focused on? A Christian is poor. Ask him 1,001 times. Is a job he's looking for? He narrows all the possibilities of his blessings to having a job. He narrows all the possibilities of his healings to the drug prescription. He narrows all the possibilities of his rising to his uncle that is in an office. Faith men don't do that. The Bible said, they that observe the wind shall not sow. They that observe lying vanities forsake their mercies. You know what we do? If it comes from God, or if God uses a man or a circumstance, it doesn't matter. Today, as I'm going out, I'm blessed. You just expect something to happen. Imagine if I came for this service and I didn't expect anybody to be healed. How would they be healed? So you need to go and train your expectations. Even in the world of metaphysics, they believe that anything you focus your energy on and expect will happen to you. In metaphysics. Because demons power it. And the principle is the same. Somebody is sick in this service. Guess what? Instead of expecting that somewhere in the service he will jump up and be healed, he is praying to God, Lord, please let apostle walk to my seat and lay hands on my head. And he has been trusting God for that for 1 year. The woman with the issue of blood said, I don't need him to know I'm around. I may not be significant enough to have that happen, but let me sneak and touch the garment. So when you are building expectation, build expectation around the area of least resistance. And then when you have built expectations, take corresponding action. You will discover that your faith was alive the day they gave you. Your faith is not needing any activation. The activation is understanding, expectation, and action. The day it happens, even if the man of God does not know you are there, you withdraw the power. The Bible said Paul was preaching in Lystra and he saw a man impotent in his feet, and he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And Paul said, rise up. If you came here with crutches and you are not having the expectation that you will drop it and walk, and when it's time to take action, you don't take it, you may never walk up. Even if I pull you up, you will fall again. But the first trigger of miracles is faith. Please learn this. You don't need more faith. You already have faith. You already have enough faith. The Bible calls it the measure of faith. What you need is understanding. And when you have understanding, build your expectation. Do you know how we ministers build expectation when we go for meetings? Sometimes you don't even have enough energy, as it were, to press as you would have loved to. So you discover that you have not generated enough virtue. What you do is that you focus on expectation. And how do you build expectation? If it's a prophetic meeting, you gather prophetic videos and watch others who have the Holy Ghost prophesy. As they are doing it and doing it and doing it, after a while your own will erupt. If it is miracles or healing meeting you are going for, gather videos of others who have the Holy Ghost manifesting healing. As you are watching and watching, yours will erupt. While you are in the meeting, you won't know when you will shout, come here if you are sick. Because the expectation has climaxed. In the meeting, it explodes and things happen. You have faith for the miraculous. Some people have spent all their lives trusting God for faith. Faith that was given to them the day they received Christ. What they should build is understanding. And the understanding is simple. It can happen now. It will happen now. And it must happen now. If you will take the action. Number two. Trigger for miracles. Is deliberateness in using the name of Jesus.
When you use the name of Jesus, you transfer the whole responsibility of manifestation to Him. If I call you now and say, go to the back there and bring me another microphone. Hope you know you have two choices. You can go there and say, who is in charge? Give me microphone. And they look at you and say, why? For what? What do you need it for? I say, give me microphone. I say, no. Why should I give you? And you can end up quarreling and quarreling. If that person is even a difficult person, he will ignore you. And say, when you are done shouting, get out from here. You will be stranded. But if you enter there, and you say, Apostle say, give me microphone. You know, argument will die. No, the person there knows, if they tell me what he says, it can affect even his stay there. That's what we do when we use the name of Jesus. I've seen some people who work with me here struggle. I give them instruction. Tell that person to do that. They will now call the person and say, do this. And the person will say, I'm tired. I'm telling you, you know, some of my leaders, they just call somebody and say, yes, you do this. The person will say, I am busy. I don't know. Is there somebody else? And they'll be like, you mean you can't serve God? No, I'm serving God, but I'm busy. But when they call them and say, Apostle say, do this. Even if they are busy, you know what they do? They hand over the job to another person and they do it. When Jesus gave us his name, is to end every argument with demons. It's to end every argument with circumstances. If you come and you look at the sun and say, move. If you say, rain, come. The rain may ask you, who are you to tell me to come? But when you show up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rain, pour. Oh my God. If you look at a demonized person and say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Nobody argues with the master. You know why? The season of argument is over. The only time they had opportunity to argue was when he went to hell. And the Bible said when they went there, having spoiled principalities and powers, having spoiled, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Every demon knows this. The name of Jesus was not given to you until after he resurrected. You think there wasn't a reason for that? When he was born, the authority on that name was salvation. So the Bible said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21-23. But when he rose from the dead, another layer of authority was added. It was no longer salvation alone, it became Lord. The Bible said, because of what he did, God gave him a name that is above every other name. And he will think they will call another name. He now said, at the name of Jesus, Philippians 2:9-10, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus is what? Lord. So when he resurrected, the name was what? Salvation and Lordship, all gathered together, packaged in one. So when he resurrected, he gave you that name. He didn't tell them to use that name while he was on earth. It was when he resurrected, he said, now everybody who believes in me, these signs will follow them in my name. Because when you say Jesus, you call both salvation and Lordship. So the ones who want to argue, they already know that you are using the Lord, and they have no choice but to shut down. This is why everywhere we want miracles to happen, we come in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I may have faith for somebody to be healed, but I will support that faith with the name of Jesus. So that every devil will know, I don't want to argue with demons. I don't want to argue with circumstances. I don't want to argue with people. So I come with Lordship. And the moment I exert Lordship, the situation has no choice but to bend, to shift, and to alter. This is why the second trigger for miracles is the name of Jesus. Please understand this. your life will not be the same again. See, from today, when you face a situation and you say, Jesus, you are saying it from understanding. You are invoking both salvation and lordship. It has no choice but to change. What is the third trigger? Maybe I will round up here because of our time. The third trigger for miracles. Which one do I pick now? I'm looking at prophetic declarations. I'm looking at the anointing. I'm looking at divine obedience to divine instructions. And I'm also looking at worship. Which of them do you want? What? I didn't get that. Why are you saying worship? I'm looking at obedience to divine instructions. I'm looking at prophetic declarations. I'm looking at the operation of the anointing. And I am looking at worship. Which one do you prefer? One you want, shout hallelujah. The loudest hallelujah will determine which one I will use. Obedience to divine instruction. Lower this down. Do you know why I'm walking like this? We have a buffet of weapons to use. We are not helpless. Oh, the problem is we don't know our arsenal. We are not helpless. Obedience to divine instructions. Worship.
Hallelujah!
Prophetic declaration.
Hallelujah!
The anointing. All the sounds are the same. We don't have the time. Now sit down. Let me talk about obedience to divine instruction. The easiest way to receive a miracle is to obey divine instructions. This is my own experience in working with God. Many times, I consider it to be a shortcut in achieving spiritual possibilities. If you can pick the instruction and if you can obey it, you will be so shocked at how simple it will be. In fact, you will need to convince yourself that this result is not a coincidence. Sometimes you always want to think that, is it really what I did that produced the answer? Or was the answer already there? Let me give you instances. John chapter 2. If you read from verse 1 to 11. That's the first miracle that Jesus did. Get all the men needed to do. To get wine. Enough. For all the guests of a wedding. Now the whole situation itself was chaotic. The timeline to get answers was impossible. The volume of wine required could not be purchased. And then there was no place to even buy wine at that time. Four problems. The chaos of what do we do? There's no wine. The calamity of getting enough for everybody. The challenge of where to get it from, given the short time. And the problem of seeing the wine itself. What will you do at such a sensitive moment to save the embarrassment? All they needed to do was to obey. All they needed to do was to obey.
The wine is finished. Woman, it's not yet my time. Whatever he tells you to do, do. If I want to pray him until that time comes, we may wait for 1 year. So let's switch to the shortest route, which is obedience. Whatever he tells you to do, do. And guess what? The master said, fill the water jars with water, not wine. And they filled it up. Nobody prayed. Nobody fasted. Nobody sang. Nobody did anything. Draw from it. Take to the governor of the feast. At what point did the miracle happen? Only him knew. But I can tell you here from prophetic intelligence that it was at the point of obedience. Fetch, take to the governor of the feast. And miracles began to happen with ease. We were praying, I think it was in the month of February or March. I made a declaration and I told the people, connect by typing amen. And one of the sisters from South Africa who connected, she left that prayer and felt pressed. As she went to the place of easing herself, literal lump of fibroid fell from her. I don't have the faith to say fibroid come down. I can declare every tumor, including fibroid, dematerialize. But to say fibroid come down, I don't think I can say that. But guess what? All she did was to what? Obey. The moment she did it, a rumbling sensation began to happen inside her. Most of you think for you to have a miracle, you must see an angel. You must be carried to the third heavens. Your miracles have been delayed because that night you were sleeping and you felt a tap. Pray. You slept. Some of you, your miracles have been delayed because that beggar you saw and you felt in your spirit, give 100 naira. And you refuse. That was the cure for your poverty. That was the cure for your family crisis. That was the cure for your barrenness. Help this beggar. Listen, all you needed to do was to match the brake and reverse for 5 seconds and say, take. But that action you didn't take is the reason why you are still here 5 years later. No door has opened. If you know how miracles work, you can have miracles every day. We who minister here, I can tell you, there are times when you are preaching and the Holy Ghost says, stop. Start singing now. If you miss it, you will pray. You will shout. You will lay hands on people. You won't see anything reasonable in that place. There are times when you are preaching, the anointing is moving you to the right. You didn't even hear anything. But at some point, you just discover the thing is pushing you here. As you move there, the moment you stand, your eyes open. And then the waters of knowledge begins to flow. This is not doctrine. This is organic life. Why do you think many times in the Bible, before miracles happen, they gave the people instruction, rise up. And then you are wondering, okay, if I could rise up, why did I come? Are you not seeing my leg? The leg is lame. That's why I came here. I saw the leg. I say, rise up. If you don't rise, you won't be healed. Imagine the man that was bedridden. Only God knows how long. Jesus looks at him and says, son, take thy bed and walk. Sir, didn't you see what happened? They tore your roof and brought me down. If I can take my bed, why did I come? Do something now. Lay your hands on me. Drag me up. No, the power is not in the ritual. Most of us, the reason we don't see miracles is because we are waiting for rituals. They must lay hands on me today. They must hug me today. They must bless water for me. Sir, leave that realm. As I'm talking now, some of you have already received your miracles. Hope you know. Wait a minute. I'm not being religious with you. Not because I'm saying you have, by declaration. But why this message was going on? How many of you have received instructions already? But some of you, the instruction appeared awkward. Some of you, why this message was going on? The Holy Ghost told you, send the message to that girl. Send a message to that your friend and say, I'm sorry. Tell that your friend, I have forgiven you. Some of you, as this message was going on, God told you, call your wife, call your mother, and put the phone on. But you have been waiting. You are waiting for that moment where apostle will say, now, God is here. The anointing is upon my life. I can see an angel. I'm not seeing any angels. I'm not sensing any anointing now.
What God is telling you is where your answer is. Some of you, as you are even listening to me, you have heard in your heart, go and kneel on the altar. But you looked and you are at the back. Hey, how do I walk to the front? Oh my God. Lord, say something else. He will say it next year. When a king talks, what do? You obey. You don't suggest to him what to say. Miracles are activated by instructions. My last scripture, 2 Kings 5, verse 10 to 14. The Syrian commander came to see Prophet Elijah. He was expecting that when they introduced who came, Elijah will run out because of his ranking. And when he showed up, they told Elijah, so and so and so person is at the gate. And Elijah didn't as much as go to see him. He said, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. The prophet, the commander felt insulted. Who does he think he is? Don't we have better rivers where I came from? Is it because I humbled myself to come here? How dare he not observe basic protocol to come greet me? The guy is a prophet. He is following what the Holy Ghost is leading him to do. He was lucky he came with his servant. And the servant said, Master, if he had told you to do something more difficult, you would have done it. Now he has only told you to go dip yourself in the river. Why not just do it? And the guy grudgingly went. Guess what? He went, dipped himself once, nothing happened. Because the instruction said 7. He dipped twice. Thrice. Some of you, God gave you instruction. You stopped halfway. That's why you didn't see your miracle. Because the way it works, your miracles don't grow with the instruction. Your miracles happen when you finish the instruction. It was at the 7th time that the whole miracle happened. This is why we must become sensitive when God speaks, either from his mouth or through his prophet. The Bible says, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Did you read your Bible? Luke 19, verse 14 to 19. 10 lepers came to Jesus. Jesus never prayed for them. Jesus never laid hands on them. Won't you be disappointed? Master, we struggled all the way to come here. You are telling us to go where? You must do something. We will not go agree. In the prophetic realm, I know go agree does not exist. Too. Anything God tells you, better obey. What did Jesus tell them? We have seen the master. We have seen the healer. You have done nothing. You say we should go and show ourselves to the priest. Is it not those who are healed that go to the priest? Heal us first now. The instruction does not make sense. He said, go, show yourself to the priest. The Bible said, as they were going, that was when the miracle met them. As they were going, if you violate instruction, you short circuit the power of God. Miracles are not hard, but the protocol must be followed. The problem with many believers is that they don't follow protocols. Somebody is sick, they say, shout, and he's looking. Amen. Amen. We didn't say amen. We said shout. Come on. I've seen a man of understanding. Somebody shout. There is nothing like, I don't feel like it. We walk by faith, not by sensory perception. Sometimes by the spirit. I'm not talking about all these rascals who are leading praise and they want to keep people jump. That's not what I'm saying. They have not started thinking. They say jump. Oh God, we have jumped. They say jump. Did we come here to jump? That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes, in the course of the ministration, by the Spirit, you hear jump up and receive it. And then you see some people do like this. Some do like this. You stretched, you didn't jump. The Holy Ghost is watching. You know why? That act of obedience
is the testimony of faith. And the moment it is done, God shows up. I didn't know this for a long time. And many blessings eluded me, passed over my head. But when I discovered that in obedience lies the key for opening the miraculous, I became not just sensitive, but aggressive in obeying God. Our sister shared the testimony. Come, summarize this message. A book came out of it. Nobody knew she had books in her spirit. Summarize this. She would have told me, I'm going to Japan or Korea, because she travels to strange regions. But she sat down to summarize. A book has come out. She has sold 100 copies. I've not seen the money. It's not mine. It's hers. In obedience, there is power. Ask yourself, how many things has God told me that I have procrastinated on? You have just put your miracle on pause. You have just put your miracle on delay mode. But that's why you came here tonight. That's why you showed up tonight. Can we jump up to our feet? Now I see you have some understanding. Give the Lord a shout! Please learn this. You can receive a miracle in your sleep. You can be sleeping. God will send an angel to you and tell you what to do the moment you wake up. And you can wake up and create a miracle. It's not about sweating. It's not about exertion. Some of us have been taught rituals. But guess what? We have done all the rituals. The manifestations are little or nothing. Can't you wake up and examine scriptures? Can't you check the scriptures? Can't you search the scriptures? You have become a ritualist, literally, with no results. These are the keys. These are the triggers. We are going to praise God violently for 3 minutes. You like praising like a big man? Big men don't have problem. So you will receive big man's miracle, which is a good feeling. But if you like, praise him like a believer who has expectations, who is about to take action for a change. And it doesn't matter what you are trusting God for. Things are about to fall here in the next 5 minutes. Oh my God. I wish somebody understood. Those of you watching me online, this is where you leave anybody who will make you feel uncomfortable. This is where you find your Bluetooth speaker. Because you are about to dance your way into some dangerous realms of possibilities. Who is anointed tonight to lead us in praise? Come on! Somebody shout!
Creator of the universe, what can you do?
Come on.
What can you do, Jesus?
I'm trying to go out of the way so that you can connect and receive for yourself.
What can you do? What can you do? Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Forget your problems. Forget your challenges. Dance to the glory of God. Everybody can know what I challenge you. You are faithful. Come on, are you ready?
Dancing. Any area you need an intervention, face it now and kick it out of your life. If it is circumstantial, if it's providential,
If it is health-wise, whatever area, you are dancing your way to your victory now. You are not just being excited. Are you ready? Give the Lord a shout!
Come on! Put those hands together! You are good and your mercy is forever!
Receive your health back. Every aspect of your health that was lost, I decree restoration now. Eyes see, ears hear, bones receive strength, tumors dematerialize. I cause affliction. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to your businesses. I speak to your finances. I speak to your relationships. I speak to your credentials. Favor, open doors, blessing, prosperity. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Anyone who was bound, come out. Tarota Kapete, Sepira Katonia Kakapara, Tahuta Sharote. I cause infirmity caused by demons, heart conditions, be healed, blood conditions, be healed. Fire, I command ulcers, injuries, refusing to heal, dry up, dry up, dry up. Legs receive strength, bones receive strength, be healed now. I see, ears hear, receive wholeness of the body. Anything Satan has planted in your body, pain, moving objects, I cause them to leave you. I speak to paralysis, go from their bodies, go from their bodies, in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe me when I tell you, these things are very easy, because it's God working on the behalf of his people. In the name of Jesus, anything you came here with that is not God's will for your life, I command it to leave you now. Particularly those of you who cannot see, receive your sight back. You are using glasses, you are having eye conditions. Receive that healing now. If you couldn't walk, peradventure you were carried here, you use the walking aid, drop it, rise up and begin to walk. You came with a tumor, it dies now. Everybody whose doors have been shut, I command doors to open. I say doors open in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody held down by the power of death, I rebuke them. Come alive in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. Somebody with a demonic chain, that chain is broken now. The anointing is coming upon. This is a young lady. You have been bound for long. Put depression on you. Put fear on you. Put reproach on you. That chain is breaking now. The power of God is coming upon her. Come out from that affliction. Ushers, you can help them. Ladies, you are the Lord, my healer. You send your word and you heal my disease. You are Lord, my healer. You are Lord, my healing me. You are Lord, my healer. And you heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. The Lord is speaking to me. But I don't want to walk in word of knowledge so that it will help somebody come out of this cycle of imprisonment created by religion. That is only a few people who carry the measures of God to give.
But believe me, everybody who has released his or her faith tonight has received something. Lift those hands and give God thanks. When you go home, believe it, walk it out. Believe it, walk it out. Chains are breaking off people. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory, we give you the praise. In Jesus' matchless name, we have given thanks. Now check your bodies. If you have noticed a change, lift your right hand. You have noticed a change. I just want to hear from two people. You have noticed a change. Lift the hand up. Lift it up properly. Let's hear. I'm saying hands. Lift them up. Lift them up. Okay, those of you waving your hand, come to me. Let's take two or three. Our time is fast spent. Those lifting hands, come. The first three people that come out, just hear from them. Stop the rest. You don't need to come. Let's hear the first three that comes. You sent your words and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Okay, you're already here, come. You sent your word and you heal my disease. Yeah, that's right. Let him walk. Tell him to walk.
You are the Lord, my healer.
You are the Lord
that healeth me.
You sent your word
and you heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
Yes, what happened to him? Let's take just this once and then we're out.
Glory to God. Apostle, Daddy came
by
here.
By the way, those of you who are healed, you write your testimonies down. We'll take them at another time. Yes.
Daddy said he overworked himself yesterday, and as a result, he had back pains when he came into the service. He said, but while the world was going on, the pains vanished and it disappeared. He can't
feel
them anymore.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is permanent in Jesus' name.
Apostle, sir.
What happened to her?
This sister has eye condition since 2015.
She had eye condition
since 2015.
What was the condition?
And the doctor prescribed that she was going to have glaucoma. And since then,
I've been living in fear that I was going to have...
What was the eye condition?
I couldn't see well when I'm walking at the road and a car...
So you came here with that condition?
Yes, and I was having a very big migraine. Now, just now, the migraine just left.
The migraine left. Can you see well now?
Yes, I can see well.
Could you see writings before?
I don't see from far, but now I can see from afar.
Give the Lord a big hand. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. What happened to her?
Apostle, there's a miracle here. This sister has a pain.
She has pain on the hand.
On the left hand side. She said the pain, she couldn't stretch out the hand.
You couldn't stretch the hand?
Yes, it looks as if they have tied.
The hand seemed tied before now.
Yes. But as the declaration went forth, he could stretch forth the hand right.
Somebody
now.
Give the Lord a big shout of praise. Glory to Jesus. Lift those hands one more time. I'm seeing a circumstantial turnaround for someone. It looks like there's been a roadblock. Everywhere is locked. I decree and declare, go forward by the Spirit. I say, go forward by the Spirit. Every limitation is broken now. In the name of Jesus Christ. What happened to that brother? Let's hear from the ones that have been able to come out. I saw somebody beginning to walk. I think is that a paralysis issue? Where is Sonny? Help his faith. Help his faith. Put hands on him. Yes, what happened?
Yes, he has been having pains around the west for over a month now. But he said as the ministration was going on,
The pain checked back to hell.
Checked back to hell. Give the Lord a big shout. Put your hand on his head. I curse paralysis. Go from him in the name of Jesus. Receive life in your body. Receive life on that side of you that paralyzed. Healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, take the power of God now. Jesus' name. Let him walk. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Could you walk without support before? They carried him. Are you his son? Come. Could he walk without support before? He couldn't walk without support. So you brought him here?
Yes, sir.
What was the condition when he came?
He was having a stroke.
Yes.
In body, left hand side, can't move. He can't move. He can't use it to walk.
Could he walk like this before?
No, sir.
He couldn't walk without support before?
No, sir.
And you are just looking like that? Give the Lord a big shout. Blessings on him. I decree this miracle is perfected. Every day your strength increase. Every day life increase. It increases in the name of Jesus. Exercise your faith. Walk a bit more. Walk a bit more. Come on, daddy. Okay, come this way. Come this way. Walk a bit more. Walk. Happen. Now I know he touched me and made me whole. You mean he couldn't walk like this before? You had to support him.
Yes, sir.
Let there be perfection. Look at me. Look at me, sir. In the name of Jesus, I decree perfection. Let life surge into your system. In the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know, I'm praying for him, and the Lord is showing me somebody towards the back. I don't know if you have a heart condition. It's like there's a condition with the chest. I don't know what the doctor told you, but the Lord is healing somebody. You are weak. It looks as if something's wrong with the heart. Either they said the valves are weak or there's a hole or something. Is there anybody towards the back like that? I'm seeing that condition now. I'm praying for him, and the Lord is directing my attention to the back. And they say it's a heart issue. Weak and faintly. Sister, come up here. Come and run here. I don't know why, but you have to do a bit of running. Run here. Run. Run. Come back. Run back. Run back. Help us. This is it. She had a heart condition. Is it the same for her? Come. What was the challenge?
Because he's breathing.
You were having difficulties breathing? So what couldn't you do before? Breathe in and breathe out. Come on, do it again. Did you come with your parents? Your mom, where is she?
In media.
She's where?
In media.
Where? Your mom is where?
In media.
She's in media. Where is she? She was having challenge breathing. Will she know if she's healed? What couldn't she do before?
She has been complaining about chest pain for long now. And since day before yesterday, she has been on treatment for this heart and stomach issue.
So you couldn't breathe before?
Yes, sir.
Breathe. Go ahead. Come on. How do you feel? How do you feel? The thing has left you. You felt it go? Run, let's see. If you can run and not have challenge. He touched me. Let him sit on my chair. Run, sister. Run, run, run. He touched me. He touched me.
breathing. How do you feel? Breathe in, breathe out. I know. Give the Lord a big hand. Yes. These ones have heart issues too.
Yes.
What was the challenge?
It's a little late.
What happened now?
It has started to reduce.
It has started reducing.
Yes.
So I didn't call for more testimonies, but since you have come. I just gave a word of knowledge for heart issues. We are going to write the testimonies down and take them later. Go from heart. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Please, I rushed to collect the microphone because this sister, I know the case, sir.
Okay.
She had a diagnosis said she had a hole in the heart. And the moment you picked that word, that's why she came out. And we know God has
answered. Oh, this one?
Yes, sir.
Help me bring her up.
Yes.
Tap her. If you need to use the anointing, whatever you use, bring her up.
Father, we
when power knock you down, power will bring you up. How many of you have sensed a touch? The Lord has touched you. It's not him. Okay, we thank God for everybody. But tangibly now, you have felt a touch of God. Lift your right hand. Lift your right hand. Can you come to the front? Come here. Come.
The major touch right now.
You have felt God has touched you. Come. You lifted your hand, come.
Reverend Bina Creator.
Yes, talk to me.
This brother came to church with so much pain.
Come up. Don't be afraid. Come to the front.
In the chest.
Yes.
Each time he feels the pain, it goes to the back. But right now, pain ceased here permanently. Glory to God.
Give the Lord a big hand. You told me you had a challenge last week. Come up. What happened to you now? You, come up. What was the challenge you came with last week?
They were trying some Fulani herdsmen were trying to kidnap me. At the process, I lost all my belongings, my clothes, my shoes, my bag, everything, both my NIN, my Access Bank. I was very depressed, but right from when I stepped into this place during the worship down to this moment, I feel very relieved, sir.
That devil of depression leaves you forever. Go from her in the name of Jesus. How are you doing, sister? What's your name?
Chinanza.
What was the challenge?
I've been having this heart issue since when I was 7.
Did you see a doctor?
Yes.
What did the doctor say?
I've been saying a lot of things.
Like?
Hole in the heart. Liver issue.
So what couldn't you do before?
Anytime I run, I will be having this hardness to break.
Are you still feeling it?
No.
Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Come on, higher. Is it still there? Do you still feel the hardness? You don't feel it anymore. Speak up. Go ahead. You don't feel it anymore? Give the Lord a big hand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the people the Lord has touched. It is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why I didn't want to minister directly myself today? I want you to know that these things are possible. If you apply the things we have shared, you will have this result every day of your life. I don't disapprove the fact that God uses men, but God is not limited to the men that he uses. Anybody and everybody can walk in this dimension. Chronicle your testimonies, and then we take them in our subsequent services. Can you walk through the left eye? Give the Lord a big hand for them. People are still coming. Yes.
Online testifier.
Oh, even online.
Yes, sir. Sir, thank you, Jesus. I'm an online worshiper. Before I joined the service, since two of my knees were aching, but Jesus Christ has healed me. Thank you, Jesus. And then another one says, I'm the one apostle with the pain in the heart. You just mentioned my case, watching online. Then the brother said, his name is Junior Malakata from Zambia. He says, I received healing from a backache, which has lasted for a very long time. Then heart palpitation from Chinadi Opurum. He says, heart palpitation and pains instantly stopped as apostle made the declaration. Glory to God.
Give the Lord a big hand.
Amen.
Now hear this. The ones we can take now are bodily issues. Remember, some of you, it's your circumstances that have been addressed. Some of you, it's matters of provisions that have been addressed. Some of you, it's matters of transformation. You may live here, you that is fearful, you that is prone to falling to different things, you will just discover inner strength because God has done beyond bodily healing. And whatever the Lord has done for you in this service, I decree and declare it is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your right hand and give him praise. Thank you, Father. Before I drop the microphone, you are here tonight. You are here to confess Jesus as your Lord. This is the opportunity. Wherever you are, can you stretch your right hand? Lift your right hand. You want to submit to Jesus, declaring him to be your Lord and Savior from tonight. Lift that hand properly. I'm seeing hands. Place that hand on your chest. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I confess with my mouth that he died for my sins. I decree that from today, this resurrected Jesus becomes my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for receiving me. In Jesus' name, I have declared. If you pray that prayer, I want to assure you that you have become part of God's family. You have received the life of God, and you have escaped the judgment that is to come. We want to help train you and equip you so that you do the work of the ministry and live in the glorious inheritance of the saints. You want to rise up from wherever you are standing, walk through the aisle, meet the counselors at the back. You are going walk towards the back. The counselors will speak with you very briefly. And your lives will never be the same again.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.